Well, my dear friends in Christ, welcome back. It's been a while since I've seen all of you. I don't know what happened with that. You know, I think that it's one of those things where we plan and then God throws things at us and then we figure things out. I couldn't believe it when we were looking at the weather coming into that week, last weekend, and our church service was like right in the middle of the worst part of the storm. And I was like, yep, that's about it. So even if we had gotten here, we'd have never gotten home. So, yeah, anyway. But we are here. And as we gather here today, we have expectations. At least we should. Because we're coming into the presence of our God. You know, and the reason that we can expect something of God, which sounds really strange, right? I mean, who are we to expect anything of God except that he has promised to give these things to us. You know, he has promised to be here in his word, in his body and blood. He has promised to be here and to feed us so that we will have the forgiveness of sins that we need and the strength and the wisdom of God so that we can go out and live a life and so and live our life for him. And so as we gather here today, let's stand up and let us begin our service. In God's name, remembering the day that he made us his own child in baptism, and remembering that he, in that baptism, he has promised to be with us, to strengthen us, to preserve us, and to forgive us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are able to come together, worship you, to bring you glory and praise. I pray that you help us to just be present, to sit at your feet, to hear your word, to listen to your spirit. Help us to set aside anything that might be causing us worry, anxiety, doubt, fear, and just listen to you, to be present with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sons of men. Good morning. My name is Josh. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's, and the first reading is from Romans 6, verses 1 to 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Our message reading for today comes from Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 15. The people were waiting expectantly, and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, But one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will bump up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message, and I invite you to sit kind of down here in this area. So please come forward at this time.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you all had a lot of fun playing in the snow. Who had fun playing in the snow? Awesome. Good. Okay. So if you're listening to the reading this morning, Eric, you sit right here, buddy. Thank you. People came to see John the Baptist, and they were all wondering if he might be the promised Messiah. Did you know that in the Old Testament, which is the Bible people had when Jesus was born, that there are so many things that told them what to expect with Jesus? So they had a lot of expectations about who Jesus was going to be. Do we have expectations about who God is going to be? Yeah, because God tells us a lot about who he is in the Bible. So, but the people got a little confused by some of what was in the Bible, and they had some expectations, and they had some wrong expectations about who Jesus was going to be. But they expected something that they thought was going to be awesome. Who thinks this cereal will be awesome? Yeah, it's sweet, it's yummy, it's delicious. So if I open this up and I get a goodie out for you guys, what do you expect? Some Lucky Charms. What's this?
A glow stick.
It's a glow stick.
You can't even eat it.
No, you can't even eat it. It's totally different than what you expected, right? Is it still awesome? Yeah, but it's a different thing than what you were expecting. And that's kind of what the people experienced. They thought Jesus was going to be something totally different than he was. And he wasn't what they thought. But did he bring light and joy, just like a glow stick lights up and brings light and joy?
That is lighting up when it already has light on.
Yeah, it's lighting up. So Jesus isn't always what we expect. God tells us his ways are different than ours. So sometimes we might think we want something, but Jesus has a different plan that's still totally awesome and still fills our life with light and goodness and joy. So I have my helpers here to help hand out some glow sticks. Remember, as soon as you crack them open, they're going to start lighting up, okay? All right, now let's, hold on, sit down real quick. We're going to say a quick prayer. All right, dear God, thank you for bringing light and joy into our lives. Thank you for being more than we could have ever expected. Amen.
Well, my friends, when I open the text for the week and begin to prepare a sermon, the first thing I do is I read it, all right? And I just read it and see if anything, you know, hits me. This text, I got 5 words in. It says this: the people were waiting expectantly. Now, you guys know what it is to live expectantly. I know this because we just had a snow emergency. About 2 weeks ago, we had the weather people start telling us that the snow was coming and that it was going to be a lot of snow and it was going to get really exciting. And all of a sudden, all of us started living expectantly because we kind of knew that this thing was real, right? And I know, you know, you always think weathermen could possibly be wrong, but they were sounding so confident, you know? And so we all were waiting. Now, if we are wise, expectation leads to something else, right? It's why the grocery store gets so full and there's no eggs or milk. In the South, there's no moon pies. It's just a crazy thing that everybody suddenly hits the supermarket. Shovels are suddenly unobtainable. Sidewalk salt is gone. Because everybody is expecting the storm, and that expectation leads to preparation, right? Now, expectation does not always lead to preparation. Right now, we're praying for the people in LA who are experiencing some pretty solid fires. It's not an unexpected thing that there would be forest fires and fires at this time. But even though they were expecting the fires, what did they not do? They didn't fill the reservoir to make sure that the hydrants would have water, which turned into a bit of a problem for them. Sometimes expectation does not turn into preparation, but that's never a good thing. Well, the people of Jesus's day were living in expectation. You know, it was right before Jesus came. It had been 400 years since the people of Israel had had a word from God. The last prophet was Malachi, and he preached to the people and pulled them back into him. You would think that after the exile, you know, spending 70 years in Babylon, you'd think that the people would never wander away from God again, but they did. And God sent to them the prophet Malachi to bring them back and to call them out of their sin. And then there was a silence. So many times when we read the Old Testament, what we're looking for and what we're expecting is God's people to mess up, right? They're going to wander, they're going to sin, they're going to forget about God. But in this case, the people had not forgotten God's promises. They knew that God would send the one who was going to rescue them. Now, they may have been confused on what that rescue was, but at least they remembered that God was going to send somebody, and they were living expectantly, waiting for that one to come. And because they were waiting expectantly when this John appeared, and John got attention because he was a little different, right? I mean, remember John? Camel's hair and eats locust and wild's honey. He ate bugs, all right? He definitely was living differently. He lived in the wilderness. He didn't live in town. When he preached some really crazy stuff, you know? I mean, He greets the people with, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" Well, that's a sermon that's going to get around. People are going to remember that one. And so this strange prophet appears, and because the people were living expectantly, because they were waiting, they went out to listen to this one, wondering, could he be the Christ? Could he be the Messiah? Could he be the one that God was going to send? And they got out and talked to John, and what did he tell them? Is he the one? No, he is not the one. But his job was to turn the people's expectation into preparation. Because the people were expecting the Messiah to come, but they really didn't know how to prepare for that because they really didn't understand what this Messiah was going to save them from. I mean, their idea was perhaps from the Romans, from, you know, from political persecution, from the difficulties they were facing and the high taxes and the soldiers that were constantly harassing them and in the streets, and they wanted to be independent as a nation again. They wanted to be able to serve God as God demanded, or as God instructed. They wanted freedom, but what God was going to give them is freedom from sin. And so John the Baptist showed up to teach them, this is how to prepare. He said, guys, prepare because the Messiah is about to come. Folks, it is time to get ready. Knock down the high hills, fill in the valleys, make a straight path for God. Get ready for him to come. And the way that you will get ready for him to come is this: repent. Well, what is that about? I mean, you're supposed to like sit and feel bad about your sins and that's going to prepare you for Jesus? Yes. It will prepare you for Jesus. How? Well, it's like this. If you don't know how bad off you are you going to be desperate for the answer when it comes? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you don't know that the food you're eating is poisoning you, are you going to be looking for healthier food? Right? If you don't know that the way you're living leads to death, are you going to be looking for a better life? And if you don't know that the sin that is on you and in you and into the very core of your being, if you don't understand how deep and how toxic and how poisonous and how that sin will not just lead to earthly death, but eternal death, will you be eagerly anticipating the gospel that's about to be proclaimed? And so John's job was to get the people ready. He was telling them it's time to repent. And repentance is such a great word. Repentance is a word that means to turn. And the idea is this. Here's the word picture that the Bible is trying to draw with this word repent. That I am looking at sin. That sin has my attention. That I like this. This is fun. This to me is good, and this is the direction that I'm going, and this is what's getting my time and attention and passion. Identify with that? Something that is not of God, something that is beneath our lives, beneath our worship, beneath the intentional choices that we are making, not worthy of building our lives around, but we like it. And what John was telling them is turn. Turn away from that sin. Turn away from that thing that doesn't belong in your life anyway, that thing that is sinful, that thing is that is beneath you as a child of God, that thing that brings the Holy Spirit shame, that thing that is a barrier between you and God and keeps you from even praying because you're so ashamed to go to God because you know that this thing is in your life, this thing that causes problems between people because when anybody tells you that this thing isn't good, you get defensive and defend the thing because the thing is important to you. You understand? This thing, John says, repent. Turn away from this thing and turn back to God. Turn away and turn to. Don't be distracted by the things of the world, but instead look to God and live in eager expectation that his promises are going to come true. So that when he comes, you are ready. And this is what John's job was. And then later in the text, we have an example of this when it doesn't go very well. All right? Now, John's job is to go to somebody and tell them to repent, which means to turn, right? And the one he goes to, his name is Herod. You ever hear of this guy? Okay, this is not a good dude, all right? He tries sometimes to be a good dude. He likes to listen to John. You know, he calls John in and John preaches to him and talks to him and stuff, but then he doesn't always like what John has to say because John tells him to repent. Well, Herod has a lot of things that he needs to repent for, one of which being that he married his brother's wife, which God wasn't okay with. Shocking, right? And so John goes to Herod. Now, when John is speaking truth to the people, is that John being mean? Or is that John showing love? Right? I mean, if I'm trying to fix it, get you ready to have a confrontation with the God who loves you and wants to redeem you and wants to make you his person, wants to cover your sins, wants to make it so that you can live in heaven with him forever, is that a loving thing or is that mean? Even if I have to say something that's not very nice, something you might not want to hear, right? Okay, so John goes to Herod and he says, what you're doing is sinful. What you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is offensive to God. It is hurting you. It is hurting everybody. What you're doing is bad, and you need to repent. You need to turn away from this sin and turn to God. Open yourself to God. Look at God. Expect God. Don't focus on yourself and your own desires. Instead, what you need to do is clear all of that junk out of your life, turn away from it, and return to focusing on what God is about to do in this world, because this is going to be amazing. And what does Herod do? Does he repent? No. He throws John in prison. And then later kills him. So, how did that go for Herod? Was Herod ready when Jesus came? No. So the thing is this. The message of this text is prepare. Expect the future to come, the future that God is promising, and be ready for that future when it comes. And here's the thing. Don't we also live in expectation? I mean, the people of that day were expecting the Messiah to come. Are we not also expecting the Messiah? Is he not promised that he is going to come again? And when he comes again, he is going to, it's going to be a big day. I mean, you know, the sky is going to tear like a scroll, and the earth and the heavens are going to be destroyed. And then God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And then we're going to be called up to live with him forever. And it's going to be a lot on that day. All right? And what God is telling us today is to live expectantly. That this day is coming. And if this day is coming and we are wise, will we not prepare for the day that is coming? And for the events on that day that are coming? And for the eternity that day is going to unleash for us, that we are going to be in a completely new and different place, for better or for worse? And if this is true, if we believe this, then how does that change the way we live the rest of our lives? How do we prepare for that day? And the first thing is exactly the same thing that John told his people. Repent. Folks, we have all kinds of junk in our lives that don't belong there. We are living lives, trying to live our lives with one foot in death and one foot in life. You know, it's like we try to drink water that is half pure and half poison. You know, we try to live our life in ways that are splitting the difference because, you know, well, I wouldn't want to be too radical. Well, why not? I mean, if God is coming, if we know the day is coming, if the day is coming and we will spend eternity with God or without God, are we not going to want to be ready for that day? First ourselves, right? And so our job is to turn. And we're not turning to be good enough. That's not even the point. The point isn't that we're turning to be good enough so that we can get to heaven, because Jesus already took care of that. You know, he died on the cross. He paid for the penalty of our sin. That's covered. We're turning away from this so that we can be useful. You know, one of the things that he says in here is that John was preaching. He said that Jesus was going to come with the winnowing fork in his hand and on the threshing floor. You know what this is? Basically, grain, you know, wheat, when it's grown, has this chaff on it. It's like this little papery shell that's around the grain. It's not good for anything. If you make bread with the chaff in it, it sticks in your teeth. It's not very good. All right? And so that chaff has to be taken off. And the way they do it is they throw all the grain on the ground and they let animals walk on it. I mean, back then, that's how they did it. I think now there's probably more hygienic ways that we go about it. But nevertheless, they had a sled, and they would by grinding the grains together, it would pull the chaff off. And then you would take the winnowing fork. You would go on a high hill where the wind is constantly blowing, and you would take a whole bunch of the grain and you would throw it in the air. And the heavy grains would go up and then down. And the wind would take all that light, papery chaff and blow it away. And so what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, guys, repent. Get the chaff off the kernel so that you are ready to receive the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus comes with the winnowing fork, the sin is going to be taken away. You get this? This is the craziest thing. And so the thing is that our job is first to be ready ourselves. Because if we still have all that chaff on us, we're not useful yet. We're not ready. Can God still use us even though we're like all messed up? Yeah, God uses all kinds of really messed up people. But Martin Luther had a great saying. It said, a sharp knife cuts better, right? That it would be better if we were actually prepared to do God's work in the world to get this stuff off of us so that we can live our lives as a better witness to what he has done in us. Guys, it is a major goal of Christians to get away from the sin. It's not about being saved. It's about living our lives worshipfully. It's about living our lives set apart from the world. It's about living our lives in a way that brings God glory and honor so that when the world looks at us, they see something different. But the first step to that is acknowledging the sin that's in our life, turning from it, laying it at the foot of the cross, receiving forgiveness for it, and fighting that sin every single day. And it's going to be a lifetime of this. The problem with sin is that it's not just a few things that we do. This sin goes right to the very core of who we are. It's our selfishness. It's our greed. It's our desire to be our own God and make our own rules. It's all of those evil urges and desires that are still sitting inside of us. And we got to fight those things. And constantly, whenever they pop up, repent, turn away, and receive the forgiveness that God has for us. So this is it. This is the Christian life. I love communion is a great example of this. You know, we go out in the world, and what do we do all week long? Well, we do a lot of work, and we do a lot of other things, but we also do a lot of sinning, right? We fall short constantly. We come into God's presence, and you're forgiven. And then you're forgiven, and then you're forgiven, and then you're forgiven. And then you come to the table, and in this meal, you receive forgiveness of sins. And in this meal, God gives you what you need. And then the next thing you're about to do is walk back out into the world and struggle against sin again. Only now God is giving you his meal to strengthen you and to give you, to nourish you, to make you stronger, to give you his strength so that when you go back out into the world again, you're struggling against sin, but you're not doing it alone. And this is the Christian walk. Some people think the Christian walk is that, you know, you become Christian and you stop sinning and everything is great. Those of you who have been Christian for a while know better. Being Christian is all about the struggle. It's all about fighting the sin in our lives, constantly for repenting, turning away from the sin, and going back to God. And then when we get distracted and we get distracted by another sin, we stop and we turn and we repent and we're forgiven again. And we repent and we're forgiven again. And we repent and we're forgiven again. And this is the Christian walk. This is the gospel that we get to proclaim. This is the gospel we get to live until Jesus comes for us again and makes everything new. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. Thank you for making it possible, Lord, for us to be in relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this faith. Thank you for giving us the forgiveness through this faith. Thank you for giving us new life through this faith, Lord, and help us, Lord, as we live out that new life in constant repentance, Lord, always turning away from the sin and turning to you, the one who loves us and the one who's redeemed us. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen.
wonderful, oh God. There is no one more wonderful. You are wonderful, God. You are the most wonderful. You are glorious. You are glorious.
Please stand. We continue with professing our shared faith with the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, first on our minds, thinking of all those who are sick, all those who are ill, especially those who are suffering during this cold and flu season. We also keep in mind Wayne Sprick, as he's having some issues with blood pressure, and just pray you guide those who are giving him care, that he can get that all squared away and be restored to full health. Lord, we also pray that you would send comfort to those who are mourning. Especially today, we pray for those who are mourning the loss of Barb Skibbins, Frank Niesline, those of the Keel family, and all those that we name in our hearts. We pray that you would surround those who are mourning with your goodness, with your or truth of your love, that you have defeated death. Lord, we pray for all those who have lost because of the California fires. We pray for your mercy to stop the fires from spreading any further, that that can be contained. We pray that you would be with those who have lost everything, that they would not be without hope and without that they would not be despaired, but that you would provide them a way forward, for you do provide for our needs. Lord, I pray you be with all those communities as they rebuild, that they would have house and home, that they would have jobs, and their lives can be back to functional. Lastly, Lord, I pray that you would prepare us, that you would help us to turn from all the things that pull us away from you. Help us to see with our eyes the sin that we struggle with, to turn and repent. Help us to live in expectation, and in that expectation to follow where you lead us, sharing your goodness with all those around. All these things we pray in your name, and pray as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he gave thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm begging, please again. I need you. Oh, I need you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul. I need you. Oh, I need you. Your forgiveness. My holy water.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Thank you again for joining us in worship this day. I'd like to dismiss all the children who are going to Sunday school to go connect with our DCE Lauren Bates there in the back. You may go at this time. We have several announcements, but the first of which is I'd like to invite Sherry Haas forward, I believe. I'm not seeing any look of shock on her face, so she's expecting this. That's a good sign. To come forward and a little presentation about Guatemala, and then we'll have a couple more announcements following that.
Hey, everybody. I'll be quick. I wanted to point out that you guys all have a bulletin insert about our Guatemala trip that's coming up February 1st through 8th, and we've got a team of 7 going. The people are all listed on the bulletin insert. So I just wanted to make you aware of what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing a vacation Bible school. We're going to be help construct a house. We're going to be visiting all of our friends there. Are there some other slides, Jason? I wanted to point out that this lady and her daughter, those are her grandchildren standing next to her. They're 5 and 6 years old. There's a mom and dad that we're building a house for, a family in need. And this is the family. The lady and her husband, he's not in the picture, and that's their daughter with the baby, and her husband will live there. And then the two little ones are their grandchildren. Their son died, and they're raising their grandchildren. So there'll be a total of 7 people that live in this little house that we help construct. The pictures up there on the top and over on the side are the house that they're living in currently. The corrugated metal, and up there is another view, and that's another view down there. So they've been chosen to receive a house that you all help provide this time. And the guys that are going on the trip, Kevin Chagg, Lars Vallon, Pastor Bob, will be doing a lot of work on that house. And so anyway, I would like you to pray for that family because they're very, very, very happy. This is a huge blessing for them. They would never, ever be able to have a house if it weren't for St. Mark's showing God's love by giving them this house. It's only 3 rooms. Under standards in the United States, it's very small, but it will have a solid floor, and it'll have windows. It'll have a door that they can lock, and it has a roof to keep them dry when it rains, which is something they don't have now. They have a dirt floor in that house. So anyway, thank you all who contribute toward this. We're going to actually be having a door offering the last Sunday of January if you want to help, because we're a little bit short to build the house yet. We're about $1,500 short. I know God will provide. It'll come in. He always has. And we're also money for our VBS. We're going to be doing a VBS with all the kids. I wanted to point this out, too. Our church also funded a new laundry facility for this little community. The ladies always wash their clothes out in the canal. It's a dirty water canal that runs by the community. That's what the water they drink from. It's the water that they use to wash their clothes. They usually scrub them on a rock at the side. We've seen them do it over and over. So St. Mark's, through money that we sent over there, was able to put a pump in and water, and those are their washing machines, what you see there on the right. That is a wonderful thing for them. Like, they are thrilled to have that. And that's where the ladies come, and they bring a bar of soap, and they've got fresh water, and they can wash their clothes, and they gather there each day to do their laundry. Thank you all. That was money from St. Mark's. So that's impacting the community hugely. So we're thankful for that. I guess that's about it. You got anything else you can think of? Pray for our team, please. Pray for the people that we're going to be serving. The whole point is that they know that God loves them. And so God sends St. Mark's to help them and to show how much he loves them, to support them. So anyway, please keep that in your prayers. And like I said, if you want to contribute, the door offering is on the last Sunday of this month. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. A couple of coming up events I want to highlight. In 2 weeks, on January 26th, we have our school open house. That'll be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., so we invite you to come check out our school and hear about some of the wonderful things that we're doing over there. We also have a potluck coming up on February 2nd, and so you can read more about that in your bulletin and sign up for that. We have a Bible study series, a 3-week series about New Year's resolutions. And so one of the common ones is, I want to read my Bible more. And so that's what we're looking at today. So if you've ever been wondering, is there basically, how should I read my Bible, or to fit with the theme, what expectations do you have as you read the Bible? And if you've never thought about that, come to Bible study today. Otherwise, we'll be looking at as well physical well-being the next week and mental well-being the following week for those next 3 weeks. And then I'd like to invite Pastor Bob up because there's a usher and greeter training that'll be next week, and he's going to talk a little bit about that, and then he'll dismiss you.
All right. Yes, next week we are going to have a meeting for greeters and ushers. Basically, anybody who's wanting to become an usher or willing to serve in that ministry. It's a really important ministry, especially for people who are visiting the church and don't know how things work here. They have a child that is fragrant and needs to be changed, and they don't know where the changing places are, and if they forgot a diaper or whatever. And we have answers to all those problems, but they need to have somebody that they can turn to and ask, how do I get my child to Sunday school? Where do I sit? All these kinds of things. Basically, we want to have a little meeting to sit down and prepare everybody, help people to know what the answers are to all these questions so that you're feeling prepared to do the job. But it's a really important job so that we can be a good host for the people who are coming to our church to worship. So please consider that. It's going to be during Bible study hour next Sunday. All right? Very good?
Pastor,
what's that?
The Kinder
Mill coming
out this Friday for Charlotte.
We need some more people.
For Charlotte.
Right. What do you need?
All we need
is
some little things. I'll be out.
Okay. There's a sign up out there?
Yes.
Outstanding. Okay. Our dear friend Charlotte Godfrey went to be with our Lord, and her family is having a funeral here for her on Saturday, and we need a few more meals, a few more things made for the funeral lunch that's going to happen after the service. So if you guys have time, if you can serve in that way, there's a sign-up sheet on the connection desk. where you can sign up for whatever. Okay? Very good. Anything else? Going once? Going twice? Excellent. Guys, it has been wonderful worshiping with you this morning. God's blessings on your week.